Amen. Thank the Lord for the service we had this morning. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I believe too that it's also that in the afternoon and at night, the sound like the amplifier or mic or whatever you want to call it sounds better in the afternoon. At least to me, it up here on this end it does, but because this morning, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was me or what. I just couldn't get the sound right this morning. Probably me. If you will tonight, turn into the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. Before I get into the word, I was telling Brother Bill this morning that a missionary had called me yesterday morning, and I talked to him a while, and which I talked to him a couple, two or three times before, and basically, what the missionary is all about. I don't know if y'all got one of the little brochures that's up here or not, that where he left us, and it's Van White, and he's a missionary here in the States. He's not a missionary overseas, but he's a missionary for here in the States and for struggling churches. And he goes around and he always has got a couple of churches or whatever where he can get people to come out and help the church that is struggling. And What he wanted to do, and I said I would love to have him to come back. What he wants to do, and when he was here, that's the last one we've had, was here, towards the end of last month, I believe it was, or whatever. But, what he wants to do, and he talked to me that morning right after church, and he talked to me a pretty good while about what he wants to do. And he says, I'm not here for support. I'm here to help the church. And that's what my ministry is all about, is to help the church, help the struggling churches that has 4, 5, or 6, or 10 people, and they don't have the means to where they can go out. They just don't have the people that is able to go out and visit the community and different things like that. And what he wanted to do, and he talked to me yesterday about it, and he called me yesterday and he asked me when we was having the Jubilee, and I told him And he didn't ask to be a speaker, nothing like that. What he asked yesterday was, would we like for him to come up on a Thursday before the Jubilee, and he could get some other people to come with him, and he could get us a church down in South Boston. He could probably get some of them people down there to come up, where we can go out and visit Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before the Jubilee. And I told him, I says, I would welcome that. I said, because, you know, this day and time, it's really not safe for anybody to go out and do any visiting at all, because you never know who's on the other end of the, who's on the other side of the door. And I said, but, you know, especially for the ladies, I'd rather for the ladies just to stay at home and pray for the men that goes out and knocks on doors. And he said, well, he says, I agree with you. He said, because it's terrible that where we can't go out and visit and invite people to the house of God anymore. But going on and saying that, it was that when he started, I don't know if the Brother Shules got it to where, how long he's been in the missionary in doing this work, but this is what God's called him to do. And he has been around before when there was nobody there at the church but just the pastor and his wife. Just two individuals. And he heard about the church and he went where they was at. And he brought some other people with him, some other missionaries with him, and they went out and they canvassed the area and they visited and they invited people to church and he witnessed to them and everything. So he's not in it. He says, I'm not in it for the money. Now, you know, that right there called a chord with me, because majority of the missionaries that you get around, they come for. They won't come for support, because so they can go back overseas. But here's one, he's not looking for support from the smaller churches. And he says, it's not that I wouldn't accept it if a church is able to give it. He said, but the churches that can't give it, I'll go in and I'll work with them and I'll help them to build up a church. He lives down in Florida. He's been to Kentucky. Matter of fact, I think he just come back from somewhere up north that was struggling, and he went up there and he drove up there and he drove his motorhome up there and he helped the churches. But in saying that, I just felt led to say, yes, come on. Because if it's a man like that can drive all the way from Florida and got a motorhome, and he don't ask for no money, you know, I mean, he didn't ask for $10. He says, if you got it, and if you don't have it, fine. If you ain't got it, don't worry about it. He says, the only thing I'm trying to do is build up the kingdom of God. He's the only way we're going to build up the kingdom of God is we build up the local church. And he impressed me yesterday. He really did. So I give him Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and yes, and I'm going to let him speak that Sunday for us. And he said he's going to try to be here all week of the Jubilee. He wants the church to grow. He, and he said, y'all got too fine a church for it to just continue going down. He says it should be going up in number. Amen. And he says, you know, I know we're all going up. If you're saved, we're going to heaven, we're going up. But until then, we need to do what we can to build up the kingdom of God. And as we build up the kingdom of God, naturally we'll build up the local church. And so I took it upon myself. I hadn't even discussed it with Brother Bill in detail except for this morning, which I hope it was okay, but I feel like that this is what the Lord wanted. But to hear the remainder of the evening, let's turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Daniel, chapter 6, and verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. You know, I got to studying and got to reading and got to thinking about it a little while ago as I was down there rereading it and everything, talking about in verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Here this morning when Brother Bill was talking to me this morning about what Darrell Waltrip had set up at the prayer breakfast and everything, you had two leaders up there. You had one leader there that was a leader of the free world. That was the president of the United States, Obama. And then you had this Dalai Lama, what you want to call him. And I got to thinking about this verse of scripture as I've done that reading it a little while ago. It was Darrell Waltrip there in Washington, D.C. Why was he there? Because God had placed him there. There's no accident in God's work. There's no accident in anything that a Christian does if they do it for the cause of Christ. Amen. And he was put up, and he was, God had looked upon him. He was above the president of the United States. He was above I mean, a Dalai Lama wouldn't, and the Speaker and the Speaker of the House, the Vice President, and all of them. Why? Because God knew exactly what he was going to say. God knew exactly what Darrell Waltrip would say as long as God give it to him to say it. No doubt them words that came from his mouth to the president, to the other individuals there at the prayer breakfast, was not no accident. And what he said was no accident. He was following the leadership of the triune God, which God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see where it says, then this Daniel, where it says, then this Darrell Waltrip was preferred above the president and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. As I took Daniel's name out and put Darrell Waltrip's name there, I didn't do that to belittle the book here, but I've done it to where we can have a reminder of that we do have people around here in the United States that will speak up. That will speak up, and no, it doesn't make no difference what the cost may be. He will speak up. And we also have some other individuals also that will speak up. You know, I've been trying to get in touch with this preacher to come and have one of the services one night during the Jubilee. And Brother James and his wife had went to Tennessee up at Pigeon Forge, where they had a 2-day Jubilee. And they probably had 10 to 12 preachers preaching within them 2 days. And I asked him Tuesday, I says, if you happen to see him there, and he usually goes every year, this preacher does, I said, if you happen to see him there, get his phone number and ask him, does he have one of them days open? So he told Brother James to give him a call in the morning because he forgot, and he didn't bring his book with him. But he said, call me come Monday morning and I'll let you know what day. And he said, and I'll be glad to come. And James, you know, I mean, and he won't be little in the church. And he won't be little in the work that we're trying to do down here. But he did tell Brother Tommy Steele that, Brother Tommy, says, I know that sometimes you like to go into churches that where I can support you, give you enough money for a meeting or a revival meeting or one day meeting or whatever. Says, but this church right here, they've struggled. And they still are struggling in a way. And he's trying to get some good preachers down there that preaches the Word of God. Because this day and time, you never know who you can get. Because last year there may have been right along with this book. But this year, they could be preaching for something from somewhere else and from other book. Now, I don't think Brother Bill knew this, but two or three weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, we was talking, we was going out visiting somewhere. And we were speaking, we was talking to preachers. We was talking and was bringing up preachers that used to stand on the book, stand on the King James Bible. Do you know of five preachers that you know of that 5 years ago they stayed true to this book? Do you know this year alone how many of them are still preaching from the King James Bible? We don't know. We don't know what to preach from. And I've got a tendency to, when I do call them, when I ask them to come hold a revival, or when a missionary called me, something like that, I'll ask them, I said, what kind of Bible do you use? Or what kind of Bible do you own? And I have them all come back and tell me, they says, it's not but one. I said, well, in my vocabulary, you're right, it's only but one. And I know the one that I preach from. I said, but which one are you talking about? And I don't ask them, is it the King James? I don't ask them if it's a New International Version. I don't ask them all these types and everything. I just ask them. And they'll come back and then tell me, said the King James. I said, okay. You'll be surprised at how many preachers 5 years ago there was preaching from the King James Bible. And how many of them today has then stepped aside of it? You know the reason they step aside? Because they say that the people that come in, they don't understand the King James Bible. You're not supposed to understand the King James Bible. Not until you get saved. But they think that if the individuals that come in, just come into the church and just visiting, and if they pick up a Bible that's on the back of the pew and it has a King James, they say, this don't read exactly right. I don't understand exactly what it's saying. You get saved, you'll understand it. But it said right here, down here, in verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Do you know what Daniel meant by where Daniel knew that the writing was signed? Do you know what he was talking about when he said that the writing upon the wall Now it's been signed. It's been authorized. It's been authorized by the Lord. We don't have many people that believes in the truth anymore. We don't have anybody that believes in the writing that has been written over the church doors and over the house of God for years and years and years. They don't understand none of that no more. Why? Because they done got a hold to the ungodly truth that's out here. And I'm talking about, when I say ungodly truth, I'm talking about the ungodly truth that's in all of these other translations of the Bible. There's not but one authorized word of God. That is the King James Bible. It is authorized by God. God spoke to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit spoke to over 40 different individuals to pin down the Word of God for me and for you. And I thank God that He loved me that much that He was willing to allow His precious Word to be pinned down upon paper that I could read. I've never seen Jesus Christ face to face. I've never spoke to Him in an audible voice. But I've seen Jesus Christ by and through faith. The faith of a mustard seed. I've seen my Lord and my Savior, and I have an imagination, and thank God for imaginations, I tell you. Because you can take it and you can run wild with it. You really can. And you can run and run and run. And you can, as long as you want to make sure, you can run wild with it. I can imagine right now being there in heaven with this, with what I known right before I ascended to heaven and right before I entered there through the gates. I got to thinking about this old body that I had down there, down here at the time. That it was frail. It was wrinkled. It could not do the things it used to could do. That was some of the writing that God wrote there. Where Daniel is speaking about the handwriting. And the handwriting was a handwriting that the men of old had spoken to us in past. I've never heard Dale Moody, have you? Except by tape. Has any of you ever heard Billy Sunday preach? I haven't either. I knew some people that have. And even with Billy Sunday preaching and with all of what Billy Sunday knew and all the crusades that he had and all the revival meetings and camp meetings and the jubilee meetings that he had across this land in the United States of America, people, some people remember them days. I can go back and I can, the only one I can remember going and hearing preach, and he was sound doctrine. He knew the Word of God, and it was Mays Jackson. I went one time to hear him preach. And after I left his services that day, I was coming home and I was riding with another preacher. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, I'd love to be able to preach like you could preach. And I reckon that time, the Lord just took that vowel stem out, and he just opened the vowel stem up, and there it goes. All the air, everything that I had within me had just gone. Why? Because he busted my bubble. I was wanting to be able to preach like Brother Mays Jackson, the truck driver special. That's who I wanted to pattern myself out of. But the Holy Spirit told me, this is what God said. God said, but the Holy Spirit says you can't be like Mays Jackson. There's not but one Mays Jackson. And I said to myself, oh no. Then Lord, I can't do it. If you don't give it to me like you gave it to Mays Jackson tonight, Lord, I can't do it. And that's when I figured it out. I can't do it. When I was saying to God, I said, God, I hope and pray that I could be like Mays Jackson. Then he busted my bubble. He said, you can't be like Mays. He said, because there won't be one Mays Jackson, the truck driver special, that can preach like that. And every time he come anywhere within an hour's drive, I tried my very best to go here. Sometimes I had to work at night and I couldn't get to go. But I tried my best to go. Mays Jackson preached, and he had put an impact upon the churches in this country, in the Bible Belt, because he lived in Georgia. But I'll tell you what, you have to do but mention, say, I went and heard Mays Jackson last week. They said, you did? I didn't even know he was in town. Have you ever heard him? Have you ever heard him preach? If you've never heard him preach, we have lost out on some of the finest preachers that has ever lived in the generation that I live in. But you know, but Daniel says, now when Mays Jackson knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house. He went into the house and he went upstairs to where he was up in the corner parts of the house, the gable end of the house, and it had the windows there. And he come up and he opened the windows up. Which window did he open up? He didn't open up the west window. He didn't open up the window that pointed south. He didn't open up the window that pointed north.
He didn't open up the window that pointed west. He opened up the windows toward heaven, which what we look at today is Jerusalem. We need to keep our eyes on Jerusalem, because that's where we're going to get the final call from. We're going to get it from the east. And thank God for the east. Thank God that one day that I'm going to be able to wake up in the morning, and one day He's going to say, this could be today. Praise God if it's today. Hallelujah. Don't cry about me. Don't say, oh, woe with him. No, Yeah, I just want you to say, glory be to God. Hey, I'm going to be all right. I may not be on all right on this side of heaven, but praise God, I'm going to be all right on the other side of heaven. Why? Because it's been signed. It's been signed, it's been sealed, and he's been delivered. Who is that? Jesus Christ. The handwriting is just not there in the New Testament. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. It goes back to the first promise, to where Christ spoke about. And that was in the third chapter, I believe it is, where he was speaking about where he would one day bruise the head of Satan. He would step on and he would bruise him. And he would be his footstool. Why? The handwriting on the wall. It all took place. It took place for me to be able to understand it. It took place for you to be able to understand it. Yes, you understand. You can understand things in the Bible that I can't understand at this right now at this time. It's some things that I can understand that you can't understand now. But we get in this book, we can understand it. Why? Because of the handwriting. Because of the handwriting that Daniel had written there on the wall. And I believe the signature that was there at the end of the writing on the wall there was God the Father. Because what did he say? After this, what did he say? He says, now I'm going into the house. I'm going home. What happened to Jesus when he first ascended from the grave, when he first come forth out of the grave? What happened? Some people think, and some people's got the idea that he went to heaven, and he never did come back. No. Yes, he did go to heaven. He did go to heaven once he came forth. He went all the way back to heaven. He made sure that it was finished. He even said while he was on the cross, it is finished. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, it is finished. But what he didn't realize was his disciples, his followers, over in the book of Acts, talking about the believers that coming together in one accord and thinking about all of them things. He went back to heaven. As he come back, as he went back to heaven, that was God the Father set him right there. Right there on the throne. And here come the Son of God. He come from earth. Ascended back to heaven. And he come up there to take his rightful place right beside the Father. But his Father, no doubt, didn't say. It doesn't, you can't find it in the Bible. At least I haven't found it. But we can imagine what was all being done then. And he said, God said to him, said, son, wait a minute. I know that you said it's finished. I know that you said, forgive them for they know not what they do. I know that, son. But son, and some of your faithful followers, is there in the upper room. And they having a pity me party. I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do. I don't have nobody to help us. I don't have nobody to tell me what I need to do here. Who to go visit, who to go see, where to go, what city to go to. Have a pity me party. Same way with the church today. We have a pity me party. We don't realize it, but we do. We have pity me parties. What happens when a church loses a pastor? When a pastor steps down? And when the pastor retired, then what do? They said, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Go back to the handwriting. Go back to the handwriting on the wall. And where God signed it there. Go back to that handwriting. Go back to the handwriting, then it'll take you back to what you've heard in the past to strengthen you and encourage you. Yes, he left heaven, he came back. He walked through the door. I mean, he didn't go through the door, he just walked through the wall. I mean, the wall was not disassembled like they did on the rooftop. The wall was still intact. He walked straight through the wall. Even after he walked through the wall was still intact. It wasn't no nails that was lost within him walking through it. But he went in, and can you imagine what he said to his disciples? He said, you know, all of the old times that we have traveled through this land and all the individuals that we have seen, that we have talked to, all the individuals where I went past, there wasn't a funeral procession. Because you know when Jesus comes by, the funeral procession, they just stop right where they at and let the body go. Why? Because that's Jesus. Jesus will let us go. Jesus needs to allow us to interact with him. And I'm going to say this in closing because I got a whole lot more I could be saying, but
Brother James Albert called me this morning, and he was asking me, how was I feeling? I said, well, Brother James, I says, I haven't had a real good week this week. He said, what do you mean? I said, ever since Wednesday at church, I says, every time I get up, I'd fall to the floor. I wouldn't fall on something soft like a bed. I'd fall to the floor. And I said, but everything's going to be all right. And he told me, he said, we're going to be praying for you today. I said, I appreciate it. And then I asked him, I said, well, do you have a good time on your trip? And I knew he did. He said, yes, sir, I sure did. He said, you know something? He says, my new bride, she went with me and we were down there. And said she was there in all of that preaching. And then the McCamers was there singing one night. And he said, preacher, he says, I just want to tell you something. He said, I said, what's that? He says, I just made sure one time there that she was just going to just bellow out and shout for the glory of God. I said, well, why didn't you? Do you stop her from doing it? He said, no, I didn't stop her. He said, but she come awful close. He said, she got up out of her seat and she started raising that hand toward heaven. And he said, I made sure she was. I said, you know something? I said, she's gonna let loose one day. Amen. But you let me tell you what, you that ain't never stood up and you that ain't never waved your hand and you that ain't never said amen and you that ain't never just waved the handkerchief that you used to wave in the past. You may not have done it down here. You're not going to be able to raise the handkerchief there in heaven. But I promise you, on the authority of God's word, once you get to heaven, you say, Lord, I finally made it. I'm looking for that day.
Yes.
I'm expecting that day any day. No, I don't want to leave my wife behind. I don't want to leave my daughter behind. I don't want to leave you behind. But I'm ready. I'm ready to go anytime he wants to take me. I'm ready. But I know down deep in my soul, he still has something else for me to do. He still has something for all of us to do. He still has a mission here at Faith Baptist Church to do. The handwriting has been wrote on the wall. And I like the sign right there. Year of Jubilee, 50 years, the year of Jubilee. Whoo, glory, hallelujah. Brother Prapuvi. Thank you, Brother Booby, for what the Lord spoke to you about. He wrote it on the wall, and it was signed by God.
Once that signature, once God stamps a signature on your life, you might well go and give in. Might well go and give in because you ain't gonna get away with it. Just go and get in and enjoy it. Hallelujah. Just enjoy it. Praise God. I know I can't run no more right now, but praise God, one of these days I know I'm going to. He's got at least one more good run in with me. I got at least one more good run. But I'll tell you what, even if he don't allow me to run here, praise God, one of these days I'm going to run there in heaven. I'm going to be able to take this cane, if I'm still using it down here, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to be able to, and it's going to just, whoops, there it goes, whoops, there goes the glasses, whoops, there goes that metal knee that you got. Then when I get to heaven, and on the way there, he's gonna transform his life. Yes. And as soon as I get there, I'm gonna glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I ain't gonna have to ask Paul a thing. I ain't gonna have to ask Paul what was that thorn in the side of his flesh. I'm not gonna have to ask Abraham, and I'm not gonna have to ask his son Isaac, how did they feel? What did they feel like when they walked up that hill that day to Mount Moriah? And when Isaac helped his own father grab up the little sticks. And then they come back down and placed them upon that altar that they had built. I'm not going to have to ask them none of that. You ain't either. You know why? Because we're going to know the answer to it all. And you know what? It ain't going to make no difference if I know the answer to it or not. Because they're not the reason that I want to go. I want to go because my Savior's there. The one that wrote it on the wall. The one that was with Daniel. Daniel wrote it on the wall and he signed it. Then he went into his own house, walked up the steps into the attic, and went to the east part of the house and opened the windows toward heaven. And said he prayed three times a day. I want to ask you something. Here Daniel was, had seen the handwriting. He knew who signed it. Daniel also knew the one that he was praying to. I'm just wondering, this is me, dying 316, if you want to say it. It's just me. I believe when Daniel got up in the upper room that day and he opened the windows toward heaven, toward the east, and he was praying. They said, some people asked me, said, what was he praying about? I have no idea. He was just talking to God. I wonder how long he talked to him. He said, talk to him 3 times. He probably talked to him from 6 o'clock to noon. 6 hours. Then I believe, I'm just foolish enough to believe this, that Daniel just took a split second to get his breath again. And he started praying again. From 12:05 until 6:05 p.m. Then he took another little break. He probably thought about even the breaks that he thought. He said, I think I'm going to go back to work now. He said, you know, I done talked to God today. I know what God wants me to do. He probably said, well, I need to go on downstairs. I need to go and get my work done today. He probably got ready to close the window, pull the window down. And before the window finally hit the bottom, the shaft, before it ever closed, I believe Daniel just turned right back around and raised the windows back up, and he felt that breeze come from heaven. He started talking to God some more. Have you ever been to the place where when you're talking to God, just talking to Him? And the first thing we start praying about will be our loved ones. And Lord, you know, bless me today and allow me to do what you want me to do today, and all of that. And we'll talk to him, we'll pray to him for 10 or 15 minutes. Then the next thing you know, then you really get to just talking to him. Friend to a friend. Friend to a friend. He's my friend.
Yes.
Is he your friend tonight?
Amen.
Every head, everyone stand, every head bowed and eyes closed. Tonight, if you feel like it, you need to come and just come to the front of the church and just pray, just talk to God. You just come on and just talk to God. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have seen and we have heard about some handwriting of the past, and Father, that we've seen and we've heard of some handwritings of today also.
Yes.
Father, we pray now that you'll bring us all together in one accord in unity, Father. And Father, we just want to thank you. And Father, help us, Lord, that we may love you more and more each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.